Okay, we're going to work on Parshas Maaseh. On our website, we posted something for Parshas Matos. So the pasuk opens up. Ela Maaseh Beis Yosef Meretzayim Lutzivayim Be'ad Mashalim. These are, the travels of the Jewish people that they went out of Eretz Mitzrayim. And by their multitudes, by Moshe and Aaron. So, Rashi, the opening Rashi in the Parsha asked the obvious question, what do we need to know this for? So we could figure this out for ourselves. We'll just go through all the Parshas and we'll make the list up ourselves. So, Rashi's first shot is... Right, that it shows how kind HaKadosh Baruch Hu was to us, that he didn't move us around unnecessarily. And Rashi works out how the travels worked out, that they weren't too taxing on the Jewish people. That's Rashi's first shot. Right, he says, Rabbi Tanchuma darshpo drasha acheres. And Rabbi Tanchuma said a different drasha. Moshe Melch Shaya Beno Chore Belicho Mokom Rochel Rufuaso. Kevichu Chazir Itkel Abim Mone Kora Maso. Son of Kan Yeshanu Kan Hukarnu Kan Chashashtes Roshecha. So it gives a Moshe. It's like a king whose son took sick. So he had to take him to a faraway place. To heal him. And on the way back, he says, remember that? That place, that's where you had the headache. That place, that's where we were cold, and that place. Right, Rashi doesn't bring the entire Medrash Tanchuma. Right, the Tanchuma ends off that. So also, our Kershul tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Minez kol mekoymos shechisuni, count all the places where the Jewish people angered me. Right. Otherwise, why would you want to do that, number one? Number two, the... there's no symmetry between the mashal and the nimshal. In the mashal, you talk about, first of all, the starting point is someone's sick. Who's sick over here? Someone's sick. We have to work it out. I would say no one's sick. They're trying to get to the promised land. I mean, you talk about the son is sick, and you have to go, Also, it says Ubachazarosan on their way back. On their way back, so remember that place and that place. Over there, they're not on the way back. They're still going in the same direction. They're going towards Eretz Yisrael. That's something we have to understand. So the next pasuk, the pasuk shot just doesn't fit. Vayechav Moshe's Motzaehan L'Maseehan, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote their point of where they embarked from, point where they came out from, Motzah, the Russian say, the point where they came out from, L'Maseehan, to their travels, where they were coming from and where they're going to. Ve'ele Maseehan L'Motzaehan. Right, and these are their travels to their point of origin. Right, and you see, Unkos and Amish says that. Toshe Matkanhon, the Matrehon, he wrote where they went out from, where they were traveling to. Right? Vilu Matrehon, the Matrehon, these are their travels to where they came from. Doesn't make sense. Yeah, this part doesn't make sense. Okay. For amongst the topics in the Parshas Maaseh, there are the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. That's still a hot topic. Ad Hayom Hazeh. What are our boundaries? So Rashi says something very, this pasuk is in Perek Lamed Daled. Pasuk Beis, you know, Kadosh Baruch Hu gives the command of, you know, where the boundaries are. This is what Rashi says. You have a lot of mitzvahs that only apply in Eretz Yisrael and they don't apply in Chutz La'aretz. That's why the Torah had to write, you know, where the boundaries are, all around. Right, these are the boundaries. Within these boundaries, you have to keep, you know, no truma, meiser, you know, and all the mitzvahs are clear spirits. Right? If I was English, right, I wouldn't need to know where the boundaries of Great Britain are, even though there's no difference in the mitzvahs that apply within Great Britain and outside of Great Britain, right? A person doesn't need to know the boundaries of his country. And I say, you know, why did God have to say the boundaries? Right? Because there are mitzvahs that apply within the boundaries and that don't apply outside. Understand? Every person needs to know where the boundaries of his nation are. Right? You know, within these boundaries, you're protected. You know, you want to leave these boundaries, you need a passport, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. An invasion of these boundaries is a violation of international law. Right? Every country needs to know where its boundaries are. Right? Right? What's going on right now? You know, UN Resolution 1559. Right? They're talking about, you know, Lebanon. Yeah. It's important knowing where the boundaries are, you know, well, aside from, you know, for, you know, more basic human reasons than, you know, that on this side of the boundary you keep Shemitah and on this side of the boundary you don't. Rashi says, no, the Torah wouldn't have written the boundaries if not for the fact that there's a difference that you keep, within the boundaries you keep the mitzvah to the source and outside the boundaries you don't. Alright, there are a few more questions, but I'll mention them as we, you know, get to the topics, right? Because I want to start already building the point I want to make. Right, anyone who takes a look at Parshas Masa will see a very interesting pattern that the topics are Golus, right, exile, being in Eretz Yisrael, being in exile, being in Eretz Yisrael. Right? Like the first topic we opened up with is the travels. You know, so we're still in exile, we're not in Eretz Yisrael yet. Second topic of the parasha is the boundaries that we just spoke about. Right? And included in that topic is talking about, you know, the lots of how to divide up, you know, the country amongst the different tribes. Right? Then, the third topic of the parsha is Golus again, but the way it applies to the individual. The din of Makin Nefesh Bishgaga, a person who killed unintentionally, the punishment is to go into Golus. Right? And we have the halachas of, he'll only be safe if he takes refuge in the shelter cities. Right? We learn out from its association with also talking about the, the cities apportioned to the Levia, that he's safe there also. Right. Okay. So, I'm talking about Golus. Then we go back, we talk again about Eretz Yisrael, the continuation of a topic that came up in last week's parsha. In last week's parsha, so the daughters of Tzlafchad, you know, put forth their claim that they should inherit their father, and Allah indeed came down that if a person left no male descendants, the Yerusha does go to a daughter if he has a daughter. Right? So the tribe of Yosef complains that if they marry out of the tribe, so then, you know, that, you know, land that was within their tribe will end up by a different tribe. So there's a special halacha enacted for that generation that the tribes can't intermarry. To prevent this problem. So again, goes back to Eretz Yisrael. So there's a Golus Eretz Yisrael, Golus, Eretz Yisrael. A fascinating pattern. Now, the truth is that Parshas Maaseh always comes out in the middle of the 3 weeks. So is the central Parshas. Parsha in the center of the 3 weeks. Right. So for sure there must be a message for the 3 weeks there. Now, we'll mention one more kasha. In the parsha of the unintentional murder, so over here we see the halacha of, right? We see the halacha of the Orei Mikra, which wasn't mentioned before. Even though we did have the din of unintentional murder earlier in the Torah, we didn't get the halacha of setting up the shelter cities. Right? But we did, it was alluded to in a very, very interesting way, right, that contradicts the way it's written in our Parshas Toys. This is in Parshas Mishpatim. If you want, let me quote the pasuk to you, Baal Peh, you can check me if I'm saying it correctly. Right? So it says, that if the person, if the person will kill a person, v'samti l'cha makom asher yonus shama, I will give you a place where he could run to. So there's two contradictions to the way it's written in our parasha. First, makom, one. There's only one place to go. And in our parasha we see you have a total of 48, six shelter cities per se. And, the Ari Alevim could double as a place of shelter. That's one difference. There's another thing. Visanti, I will give you a place for him to run. Right? I will give you a place to run. I mean, God says, I'll do it. It's what I do, I'll help out the unintentional murder, I'll give him a place to go. Whereas the command over here in this week's parsha is the Krisem Lachem Ari Mikrat, right? The command is on us. We have to set up these cities. So indeed, to get out of this contradiction, so I'll tell you what the Pashtunim, some of the Rishonim say, the Pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim is talking purely about the desert. Not the way the din of unintentional murder would work forever after. In the desert, if someone would have killed someone else unintentionally while they were in camp, they would have, had only one place to go, Machane Levi'im. Right, the encampment of the Levi'im, one place to go, and that's which God set up, and that undoes the contradiction. Right. That's fine, it's perfectly plausible. I just would have not thought that it's possible to kill unintentionally in the desert. Right. You don't have to chop wood, all the cases of you don't have to chop wood, you have no houses to build, all the classical cases of unintentional murder, chopping wood, or he's, straight down his roof, and, none of this applied in the desert, so I'd just be, and they didn't have cars yet, I don't know. So I just, I would have thought it's just not possible.
What about putting up the Mishkan?
What?
What about setting up the Mishkan?
Hmm?
So you got big poles and stuff to drop on
somewhere? Yeah. Not impossible. I've not thought that. I don't know. I don't think you would. I mean, I'm not going to swear on a bar, but I believe, you know, the halacha is, you know, one of the things, it's partially, he meets his friend in Bayar, in the forest, we have my Yarashus, has to be do something voluntary, and I think if he did something in the course of a mitzvah, he does not go to Oy Mikla. You are in error. The person kills someone because he's doing the mitzvah of building a mishkan, he does not go to Oy Mikla, as far as I know. So, endeavor to say a different shot. Okay. The Maharal has a whole sefer on the concept of the eternality of the Jewish people and, you know, understanding what it means that we're in exile and not to lose hope because eventually we're going to get out of there. Sefer is called Netzach Yisrael. So now, the basic principle in the Sefer, right, throughout the Sefer, is that Golus and Geula are really one and the same, it's just a process. Right? Exile and redemption, you might think, are opposites, you know, and that cannot coexist. And the Maharal makes us aware throughout the Sefer that it's really all one and the same. It's a process. A person has to go into exile, you know, to attain a higher state than where he started out from. I mean, you have to lose your old position if you want to get a higher new position. You've got to move. It's called moving up. You have to move. You want to go to a better position, you're going to have to move. And he points out that the words Golos and Gula are almost the same letters. Yeah, same root. Gala. Alright, we'll talk a little bit more on other principles that he raises over there. But that's what it means, you know. We celebrate Tisha B'Av, you know, we say we believe that in the future Tisha B'Av is going to turn into a Yom Tov. And for that reason, we don't say Tachanun on Tisha B'Av, as we know. Right? So on. When it turns into a Yom Tov, I won't say Tachanun. Right? Well, it means that, you know, Tisha B'Av really is a Yom Tov now, in a certain way, because Tisha B'Av kicks off the process that becomes the Geula, just we haven't gone full circle yet. We're in the middle. You know. So it's not a coincidence, you know, because I'll say, you know, Beis Mishnah was destroyed on Tisha B'Av, but Mashiach was born on Tisha B'Av, because Tisha B'Av triggers a process that we're still in the middle of. We're supposed to go full circle back to Eretz Yisrael, you know, in a way that we'll re-enter the land of Israel and rebuild the Beis Hamikdash in a better position than we were in the first time around and the second time around. Because the first Beis Hamikdash was built, because I'll say, Shlomo Melech said, you know, the Pasuk, Im Hashem lo yivne b'yei shalom, if Hashem will not build a house, you know, for naught we have toiled, right? For naught they have toiled in building it. So Chazal say that, you know, Shlomo Melech said this about the Beis Hamikdash. Look, you know, we did it, but it's up to God to keep it going, you know. And, you know, the first day as it was built up tonight, right? It was built on, you know, conditionally, you know, it may work out, it may not work out. Im Hashem lev nebai. Whereas we know the third temple will last forever. Right? But you have to leave one to get to the other. One has to be replaced by the other. It's a process. Now, again, this process didn't have to be, in a sense, that, you know, if Klal Yisrael would have merited, so it would have recalled that the Beis Hamikdash would have evolved to a higher state. And we wouldn't have to go through this way around. We could have stayed in there and so on, then the Beis Hamikdash would have evolved. Klal Yisrael would have evolved, for lack of a better word. attain higher levels, and there would also be a difference in the nature of the Beis HaMikdash. You know, achieve a higher state without needing to travel. No, but since it didn't work out that way, I said, no, traveling is necessary. The only way you're going to get to a higher state is you're going to have to go through the long way around. You have to leave here and then come back when you're ready. And the whole process along the way is coming back. Now, the truth is like this. You know, the Baal doesn't say it in these words, but I think there's a very important way to put it. You know, we were meant to be, you know, the Jewish people in the land of Israel, and that's where most of the mitzvahs apply. Right? There's a lot of mitzvahs. There's only midrabbanan in this day and age. You know, zecher lemikdash. So how do we understand? You know, you go through the Jewish history, we've been much more in exile than we were in the land of Israel. Right? It's only like double. We've been more in exile than we were in the land of Israel. So that means we've been more off than on. But also, what does it mean? You know, what does it mean, exile? During World War II, they spoke about the Polish government in exile. It's a joke. It means nothing. They talk about a government in exile. It means nothing. It's a joke. They make declarations, but it doesn't mean anything. No one takes them seriously. There's no, you know, is that the motive of Chrysler and Chrysler's and goals? You understand better my question, more often than on. Right. So the Gemara says on the pasuk, the Navi says, alright, I can't remember the exact wording, but it's going to the effect of Ka'arba ruchas ha-shamayim perasis, and the Navi says, I spread you out like the four winds. You know, in all directions, I scattered you. The Navi's talking about the goats. So Chazal make a fascinating drush on that, but they like turn the whole thing on its head. And they say, Kashem she'i'efshar la'olam b'loi ruchos, kach i'efshar la'olam b'loi yisrael. Just like the world, if there wouldn't be any wind, there wouldn't be any circulation of air, the world would be destroyed. You know, an ecological necessity. There has to be wind. So like the world needs winds, so also the world needs the Jewish people. That's an amazing spin on the puzzle. God, I scattered you in all directions like the winds. And Chazal come and make a drush on it, that just like the world needs the winds badly, so also the world needs the Jewish people. That's a strange Chazal. So the Maral, and also the Sefer HaNetzach. So he decodes the Chazal like this. He says, you know, the whole world really exists for the Jewish people. Now, Bereishis, you know, so Rashi brings the Chazal, Bishul Yisosh Nikoreishis, the whole Genesis is for the sake of the Jewish people, who are called the first. And the whole world's there for us. That's what it means, right? You know, we're as necessary to the world as are the winds. Right? But you say, so wait a minute, so why wind? Why wind? Why should that be the mashal for how Klaisel is necessary? So says the model like this. Well, look, wind means direction, right? Now, it's in Lashon Kodesh, we also use the word ruach for directions. Right? Means that the world belongs to the Jewish people from every direction. That's what it means. Because right. I just say, well, the whole world's for Klal Yisrael. Fine. Right? The whole world's for Klal Yisrael. But Kleisel's place is only limited to one particular place. The reason why we come on to Ruach directions that, no. From every direction which you could travel the world, wherever you'll find it, go to the extremity of north. Any place you find belongs to Kleisel. Right, as opposed to they will call ourselves a necessary piece of the puzzle, which, necessary piece out of the puzzle, but this piece should only be in this place in the puzzle. Huh. The Jewish people, are necessary for the world from every direction. Which means, says the Maharal, therefore, there's no place on earth that a Jew can't go and strike roots. That's where the moral goes. I believe it's in the same place. He notes that wherever the Jewish people ever were exiled to, nations in exile don't last. They fizzle. They fizzle. You immigrate to a country, within the next generation, all your kids are like that. They're like that country. They don't maintain their separate identity wherever they go. Right, so the guy himself, he's the greenhorn, right? But his kid is already all the other kids. And we see by the Jewish people, it's not that way. Wherever they went, they're able to make a community and to retain their separate identity even for generations in a foreign land. So says the model, because the whole world belongs to us. So you could set up an authentic Jewish presence anywhere. That's why the Jewish people go into Golos immediately. A Macher is born. Starts set up yeshiva, set up some. It makes sense because that's when the whole world belongs to the Jewish people. There's no place in the world where the Jewish people can't set up camp and build authentic Jewish life, even though it's a foreign land. Now, these are the words of the Maharal. I want to further explain them. Right. So Gemara in Yuma, the Samach Tes on the base. I won't read it inside, in our prayers, we praise God in the first bracha. Hakel Hagadol Hagibor V'Anoir. My God, it's great, mighty and awesome. Right? And it seems even before that was institutionalized prayer. That's the way Jews always praise God because Moshe Rabbeinu praised God that way. Hakel Hagadol G'Avanoir. So they could see upon him. Right? So even before Torah, even before prayer was institutionalized, they always used to pray that way, even when prayer was freestyle. So they copied Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what Gemara says also. They took it copying Moshe Rabbeinu. Otherwise, what right do we have to say anything about God? So then Churban HaBayis Rishon happened. Right? And the Jewish people, and it happened in stages, they stopped saying Gibor. Why? Because we don't see the might of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? The guy and kill us, right and left, and he's not protecting us. So he stopped saying Gibor. Right? The guy and dance, in the Temple Mount, we have a mosque there, whatever. So he stopped saying Nora. We don't see how he's awesome. Then the Anshe Knesset HaGdola came, and they reinstituted these things, and they gave us the Shmaras that we have today with Godol, Gibor, and Nora. And the Gemara says, Heinen, because they came, they had the insight of Heinen Gvuroisa, of Heinen Norosa, just the opposite. You have to look at goals in a whole different way. Right? That this is God's mightiness. Right? Because Ezu Gibor Kovish is Yitzro, right? And there's nothing mightier than a person who can control himself. And God's watching his children being abused, and he could control himself and not go berserk. So that's Gvuroisa. Right, hein hein neirosav. Now these are his awesomeness. Shil moli morosh akoshu ech umayechol iskayim benimus. If not for God's awesomeness, how does one nation maintain its separate identity amongst all the nations? So it's a matter of perspective. So if I put Gibor and Nora back in, it's a matter of perspective, which already, you know, that alone, even before we're going to go a little bit deeper into the Gemara, to say that, you know, Golos is not as bad as it seems, you know. There's Gevurah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu there, there's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's awesomeness in there, you just have to know how to see it. Right? So, Golos and Gula are not polar opposites. God's mightiness is there, and His awesomeness is there, you just have to know how to see it. But look at the equation set up over here. They stopped saying Nora because the Goyim, you know, set up shop, you know, in the Temple Mount. That's where God's awesomeness is revealed. Right? That's where the Shekhinah is revealed. They set up camp there, so they stopped saying Nora. And then Anshik Nasabro said, wait a minute, Hein Norosa Shomole Morosha Kozolech Umechol is Kain Ben Umos. If not for God's awesomeness, how does one nation maintain its identity amongst the other nations? Right, so that means there's an equation over here that how the Jewish people could make independent communities in exile is somehow equivalent to the Gilui Shechina in the Beis HaMikdash. Because that's called Morosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? So that's his awesomeness, that the Homo Yechol is Kayim Ben HaUmas. So there's an amazing message being said over here that further gives a further depth to what the Maharal says. The whole world belongs to us. That means, what does that mean? That means wherever the Jewish people go and attain a certain critical mass, they open up an embassy to the Beis HaMikdash. That's the secret of our survival. That's Neiroisav. That's God's awesomeness. That was revealed in the Temple Mount. That means that when it requires a certain critical mass of enough Jews learning Torah, so where they are, wherever they are in the world, within whatever nation, it opens up a portal to the Beis HaMikdash. There's no place in the world where we can't strike roots. So it doesn't mean, God forbid, to become Americans or become British. I mean, what the Maharal meant, there's no place where we can't strike roots. There's no place in the world that we can't establish an embassy of the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore continue to lead authentic Jewish life. Full force. This is the secret of what the Gemara says in Brachas. We're going one step deeper. I'm warning you. Miyom shenechava beis mikdashenu eno lakosh baruch hu ba'olamo eladal amas shahalacha buvat. From the day the temple was destroyed, all God has in the world is the Dalet Amos Halacha. All right, the four Amos. So even like the Chazon Ish, you know, it's 8 feet by 8 feet. All right. The Dalet Amos Halacha. Why is it not? I mean, I'm saying, you know, I've never seen a shul or a Beis Medrash that small. I've seen people learn. It was in a room much bigger than that. Why is it called Dalet Amos Halacha? Why is it called that? Dalet Amos in Halacha is called Mekom HaShalom, the space of one person. Now that's your space. So in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, on Shabbos, you can carry within Dalet because it's called the same place. It's called where you are. Where you are is a radius of Dalet Amos. So also in a Simta, you can make a Kinyan. You know, if it goes into your Dalet, that's my space. Personal space. That's what Dalet Amos is in Halacha. It's personal space. Space of the radius of a person standing in one place. Right? And over here we're talking about there's only one Dalet Amos of Halacha. You would think, right? There are many, many, many Dalet Amos of Halacha. Everyone who's learning has his own Dalet Amos of Halacha, you would think. Really, we asking the same question over. Why is it called Dalet Amos? It's all just one Dalet Amos. Dalet Amos is a place for one person. Dalet Amos is Mekomo Shel Adam. But the pshat is like this. It's the same message. Miyom shenechva beis hamikdash enu lakosh ba'olam adal sham alacha bilvad. The day temple is destroyed. All God has in the world is Dal Amos, where a person is learning. Right. That means that where a person is learning, a portal opens up to the Beis HaMikdash. An embassy of the Beis HaMikdash. Right. All the people learning, understand this, all the different people learning around the world, there are Jews learning in China, Jews learning in America, Jews learning in, yeah, wherever they set up a kollel, all these Jews are in the same place. They're all in the same Dalet Amos. The same Dalet Amos, which is an embassy of the Beis HaMikdash. Ready to go one step deeper. Okay. All right. You have to understand, you know, there's three-dimensional space as we know it, right? But you know that space came from somewhere, right? You know, space is a creation, right? It was created, you know, from a point that's beyond space, by definition, because nothing makes itself, so something else has to make it. So space comes from something that's above space. So Chazal, we are taught, right, that all space came from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, from a thing called the Evan Shasiyah. Evan Shasiyah Shemisham Hushas Olam. Right? It's like this one rock that from there all space came from. Point of origin of space. So now, what originally sat on top of that rock was the Oron, right? The Ark. That held, you know, the Luchas Habris, the tablets. Right? The Ark represents the Torah. So the Gemara says in Megillah, I believe, right? The Oron didn't take up space. Right? Because the Gemara works it out that, you know, with the wingspan of the Kruvim, there wouldn't be enough room to fit it into Kodesh HaKadoshim. Unless you say that the Oron, even though it was a square Amma, didn't take up space. Right, Torah, right, is the point Torah, right? Right, Evan Shasiyah, these are all parallels. That's why they're on top of each other. Right, this is the point of origin of space. This goes back to the same thing. All of space is for Torah. All of space is for the Jewish people. It's all there to serve the Torah. It's all there to serve the Jewish people. And therefore, the Jewish people, wherever they are, they uncover the connection that space has to its point of origin. They uncover the connection that place has to the Torah. They uncover the connection that place has to the Kodesh HaKadosh. They uncover the connection this place has to the point of origin of all space. So it's sort of an illusion that the Jewish people are sharing the same space as Goyim in America. Not really. Yeah. To an eye that only sees three dimensions, yes, they're all in the same three dimensions. But to an eye that can see more, the Jewish people are hooked up with the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Right? The Mokum of Ha'oron Eino Min Amida. And it's called everyone's all in the same Dalet Amos Shel Halacha. They're all standing in the exact same space. You know, in three dimensions, there's not enough space for them. But we're not, you know. We uncover the connection that regular three-dimensional space has with the Torah. That's what we uncover and reveal when we're in the Golos. That's why the Jewish people could mamash have, you know, authentic Jewish lives, even in the Golos. Because they uncover within that space its connection to the Beis HaMikdash, its connection to the Torah. They're not really on the floor tiles. They're all in the same place called the Dal Amos Shel Halacha. And Dal Amos Shel Halacha is what's left of the Beis HaMikdash. Rosh Halacha comes from the same place, the Mokom HaMikdash, the place where the Aron once was. We tap into that wherever we are in the world. And that's the secret of Jewish survival. And they had vibrant communities wherever they were. We're clear. But yet, on the external level, we're in different places. But only on the external level. Plans are level, right? But I'll give you a good muscle to understand this. This has programming in the Torah also. Something which we're going to read about in next week's Parsha. You know, already in the desert, Ho Moshe Beres HaTorah Azoy, so I'm going to give me away next week's year. Right? Ho Moshe Beres HaTorah Azoy, was Rashtay B'Shivim Lashon. Already in the desert, Moshe Rabbeinu explained the Torah in 70 languages. Why? For what purpose? Who spoke Spanish there? Right? But the Indian is like this. Right? Because Moshe Rabbeinu foresaw, right, that Torah is going to have to be learnt in a lot of different places. Right? I think just like we learn in English, you know, I would imagine that in Spain they learned in Spanish. There are some Spanish words in the Rishonim here and there. Now, Rashi has French words in it. Right? Torah would have to take on a guise that even though the Torah comes out from the same heavenly source and you know, through secret portals, emerges in these different places in the world. And it's all the same Torah, but it takes on a unique guise for every place. It manifested itself. And the preparation already for that was made at the time of the giving of the Torah. Saying Torah in 70 languages was the hachana for that. The Torah will have, you know, a levush, right, a guise that's, you know, the Derech HaLim of the Balei HaTosfos in French, a levush which came out as the limud of the Rashba and the Ramban in Spain, a levush that emerged as Hasidus in Poland, Lomdus in Lithuania. The preparation for that was already set at the time of giving the Torah. The Torah will come out in special guises fitting to the different nationalities that the Jews will be in. And these are the different Torah that we're collecting. That we are, you know, it's sort of the concept of, you know, everyone's heard the concept of raising the sparks that are scattered amongst the Golos. Part of this raising of sparks is the unique chidush, the way Torah looks. When you open up a portal to the Kodesh Kodashim in France, it looks like Tosfos. Not a coincidence. When you open up a portal, it looks like the Rashba. When you open up in Lithuania, it looks like Lombus. We're collecting from the Golos all different manifestations of how Torah appears when it passes through the filters of these different places. But it's the Torah that comes from Ki Mitzion Tetzei Sarah, but it is the way it looks when it passes the filter, passes through, and it's all the same Torah, right? It's all the same Torah. It looks different because of the different filters that it passed through. And that's a big thing. That's a big avod and goes to reveal all the different Darkei HaLimud the Torah could be packaged in, that are lefi, all the different mekaymus that there are in the world. Now, if we would have merited, we could have done this all from within Eretz Yisrael. This would have had like a very, very dynamic, you know. Yeah. That within Eretz Yisrael, the Sanhedrin of Golah would have never disassembled, and it would have just been a very dynamic, they would have come to all these different divrei Torah that came out across themselves, but we weren't zochah to do it all from point center, so we have to pick them up from where they're scattered. You understand? So now with this, understand also, going to the unintentional murderer, we can resolve the contradiction, right, between Parshas Mishpatim and this week's Parsha. And Parsha Sot says, God says, I give him a place to run to. Right? And Ovi and Mrs. Parsha say, no, you got to give him, you know, the six, and also the Ariel Avim could double. The Sfarmakdoshim say, by no coincidence, the six plus the 42 Ariel Avim is Gematria, right, 48. Can I get the Mem Chesron Shatran nickname span? The 48 things that we need to acquire Torah, right? Because it's totally about the same thing, an amazing thing, right? When a person has killed a person, he has no place for himself. He can't live with himself. He has no makom, right? He has no place in the world. He has no place in the world, right? Aside from the fact that he's not physically safe, because the Goel Adam, right, the avenger of the person he murders, allowed to kill him. Aside from that, he can't live with himself. So the pasuk says in Tehillim, I believe it's a pasuk in Tehillim. No. I forget what the pasuk is offhand. Tov v'yosher Hashem al ken yorech hatoyim baderech. Hashem is good and just. He gives the sinners a place to go. Chazal dash this on. That Hashem set up Ori Mikrad. He has a place to run to. Chazal Darshan on Tshuva also. And a sinner also, just any sinner, just lost his makom that he had with God. He lost his position with God. And God, so Chazal Darshan, the same pasuk. God says, I give him a makom. So the untouchable murderer has the makom of the Ori Mikrad. Right? And the sinner has the makom of tshuva. He's got a place to run to. Right? God gives space where there is no space. Person lost his space, so God gives him new space. So tell you about God given space. This is space above space, because he lost his position in three-dimensional space. Right? He can't live with himself anymore. So his regular three-dimensional position he lost. So God, there's something about God, I'll give him, I'll take care of him. There's supernatural space coming from God himself. So you have to understand, all these 48, places that he could run are all really the same one place. It's the hyperspace that God in his kindness is giving this person who lost his position. It's all embassies of the same place. Our job is to reveal these embassies. So that's why so God says, I gave space. It's your job to reveal the space that I gave. So that's why you set up the Ori Mikrat, set up the Vim. We have to just create embassies to that special space that God gives. And this idea of opening up embassies to God's space, that's what we do in the Golos. And that's a tremendous tikkun for the country that we've been exiled to. We reveal its connection with the Beis HaMikdash. We reveal its connection with Torah. We reveal how it's connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tremendous tikkun for the world. That every place that the Jewish people go to exile, they'll be attacking that place. Because they reveal its connection to the Evan Shasiyah that it branched out from. It reveals its connection to the Torah that programmed it. That's what Jewish people do throughout their exile. So understand, this is the whole sandwiching here of Golus Geula, Golus Geula, that the whole process of Golus, right, is a process leading up to Geula. We went into Golus to reveal embassies of Eretz Yisrael within Golus. So what's the whole difference, right? So if the whole world belongs to us, in a sense that we could, wherever we are, open up a portal to the Beis HaMikdash. We open up the Daal HaMashalacha, which is what's left. So what's the whole difference between Eretz and Chutz La'aretz? I'll tell you the whole difference. Truma and Maisa. So Rashi is 100% correct. What's the point of boundaries? There's no separate space, because wherever we are belongs to us. Wherever we are, we open up a portal to the garden. So what's the point of the Gvulis? Yeah, I'll tell you. Nafkamina is for mitzvah to his parts, and Rashi is 100% right. That's the only reason why you have to mention the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, Because really the whole world belongs to us. Wherever we are, we could set up camp and build authentic Jewish life. So what do we need to know the boundaries for? Because, you know, we're in hyperspace. We could open up a portal to the Bay, wherever we are. No, because if you're in America, you keep all the mitzvahs. You don't keep mitzvahs of Tullius Baritz. But if you're in Eretz Yisrael, you keep mitzvahs of Tullius Baritz. So Rosh Hashanah, right. And that's what, you know, Parshas Maaseh is a parasha that teaches this message, how all our travels is for the purpose of making it back to Eretz Yisrael. All our travels is to reveal the connection that every place has to Eretz Yisrael. And that's why our travels are only leading back to Eretz Yisrael. Because at one point, the whole world is just going to become one big embassy of Eretz Yisrael. We're going to have to make it back to Eretz Yisrael. So now Rashi is mashal. He brings a king. You know, of course, like we said, if we were merited, we could have held on to the whole world from the center. We would have been zocher and not sin. So from the Makom HaMikdash, where the Lishkas HaGoz is, from the center, we would have ruled the whole world. It wouldn't have been necessary to go around collecting. We would have just pulled it all out from the center, right? But we weren't zocher. That's called that we got sick. That's why the Ben HaMelech became sick. But he didn't throw us away. You know, he didn't spurn us. We're going through Golos. That's our refuah. Right? That's to get healed. Right? That since we can't elevate the whole world from the center anymore, we're going to have to do it, go to each place individually. And from there, fix it. From there, you know, reveal its connection to our point of origin. And that's what it means, on the way back. Because even wherever we travel, we're always on our way back. Wherever we travel, wherever we set up camp, we reveal the connection that has to our point of origin. We're always just on our way back. We're never going away. Right? It's because we got God angry that we had to go to all these different places, but going to all these different places elevates them and brings them back to our Kodesh Baruch Hu. If we wouldn't have gotten him angry in person, we wouldn't have to visit each of these places individually. But now that we did, it's called we bring them back to him. That's why they all get written in the Torah. Right? We go back to Eretz Yisrael now with the Brisker Derech and with the Gerach Hasid. We bring it all these Torahs back to Eretz Yisrael with us. Right? So to end off, you know, out of time. Now the Pasuk makes our head. Right? This is the point of origin. Motzeim l'maseim. Ve'el l'maseim l'motzeim. Our old travels is just to get back to where we started from. There's no such thing as traveling away from our point of origin. Eilim Matem, Lemotem, all our trials are all about getting back to Eretz Yisrael.